Hello everyone, this is Joe Cristiano and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday, January 28, 2007. It is now about 8:28 p.m. Central Time. During our broadcast, you may reach us via AIM phone at 903-551-2186. If you are listening via our Blog Talk Radio website, simply dial the number on the screen. At any time, please send in your comments and questions to comments at libertytalkradio.com, and we'll try to answer your questions during our next broadcast. Folks, this station is your antidote to popular talk radio, where you are expected to do more than listen. You are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Rome, Paris, or Stalingrad. We must take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our liberty, our freedom, our rights, and our property. It's time to shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. And now, on to our program. Good evening, everyone. It is Sunday evening, and it is my pleasure this evening to introduce our guest. His name is Perry Lesh. He was born in 1954, so he's not quite as old as I am. He was born in Indianapolis, Indiana, and became a Christian in 1970. He began reading and studying the Bible extensively and started to learn Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, the language of the Bible, as it was written in. Now, after over 35 years of extensive research into the Bible, history, both exoteric and esoteric, and logic, Perry has drawn some astonishing conclusions. He will soon present them in a three-part lecture series in Tulsa. The title of the series is From Dan to Antichrist, Daniel Unsealed. Obviously, his area of specialty is the Old Testament book of Daniel, but he wants us to know that the events of Waco, Oklahoma City, and 9/11 horrified him, but did not surprise him. With that introduction, welcome, Perry.
Thank you, Joe. It's good to be here.
Well, thank you for coming here, especially on a Sunday evening.
A cold Sunday evening.
this is the time, you know, we really should be just vegging out on the couch watching some ball game, shouldn't we?
I agree. Why don't we just, you know, stop the show right now?
Okay. Well, since we're here, we'll continue with it. All right, I'm going to check to see how we're doing here. Okay, so far, I think so far we're okay in our recording and whatever. I think we're actually recording out there. That's great. Yes, we are. I would like to make, in the interest of full disclosure, I need to tell our audience that this station accepts interviews from everyone, regardless of your point of view, race, color, creed, religion, or whatever, and we accept whatever is being said, but we will challenge it. This is a secular station, and so we accept every religious point of view, and we'd like to hear it. We would also like to hear from our audience. In the event that you disagree, please do so. We ask that you do so respectfully and challenge not the person, but whatever the facts or logic is that's being presented, okay? So with that, tonight's broadcast is entitled Liberty and Freedom, the difference between liberty and freedom, and I always thought they were the same. Would you please explain that to our audience and me also?
I'd be glad to. Well, obviously the two words are two different English words, and they have two different etymologies. First of all, and I read from a posting that someone put on the internet that was very insightful, and they say, according to Webster Dictionary, the etymology of liberty is libertat, That is Latin libertas, which comes from liber, meaning free. Though from my little knowledge in Latin, I also know that the initial and correct meaning of liber is book. So the ancients had a different concept of liberty and related the word to knowledge. Moving on to our next candidate, however, Joe, the word freedom comes debatedly from an Indo-European word that meant dear or beloved, which automatically relates the word with affection and kinship. I can comprehend how the roots of these two words are different, this writer on his blog says, but being fully aware that I am not a native speaker of the Indo-European language, I was hoping someone would have the courtesy to explain to me what in the world is the modern difference between the two words, and I'd like to address that in greater detail right now.
Oh, please do. The microphone is all yours.
Okay. One of the things that's very, very important to understand is that the word liber, before it ever meant free, it actually was the name of a god. And Joe, I'll say at this point that I am a Christian, but I do not want and never wanted this to be a Christian nation. I do not want this to be a nation of any religion. I want this to be a nation where everybody can practice the religion, or if they don't have a religion, they can practice that. In fact, that was guaranteed to us in our Constitution, that there would be no establishment of a state religion. As we know, the Pilgrims originally came over to escape both political and religious tyranny. And I'm here to say that the word liberty, where it comes from, is it comes from a god, and that god was Bacchus. Bacchus to the Romans, Dionysius to the Greeks. In fact, I read from Andreas Michalopoulos. That's a Greek word.
Are you having a problem with that word?
That's a challenge. Ancient etymologies in Ovid's Metamorphoses. And in there he says that one section under liber, he says, the daughters of Aeneas raised their arms still free, that is libra, unfettered, to the sky and asked for the aid of Bacchus. The lines evoke the etymology of liber, Bacchus's other name. Now, I don't worship Bacchus. I don't worship Dionysius. Okay? And I find that when you have a god, Bacchus, and then you have a goddess, Libertas, you have a religion. And so that's, I want to say, I move on to, in a little bit more depth, in the instructions of Commodianus, I can't pronounce it, Joe, but I've got the paper in front of me, favor of Christian discipline.
I'll allow you to cheat a little bit tonight.
Okay. Against the gods of the heathens, this was an ancient expression of this gentleman expressed in acrostics. And number 12 under this, he says, Father Liber. Father Liber was none other than Bacchus. Now, this is what he says under his section, Father Liber Bacchus. Ye yourselves say that Father Liber, from which we get the word liberty or libertas, was assuredly twice begotten. First of all, he was born in India, etc., etc. He goes into this, and he's challenging this belief system. And he goes on to say a little further, he says, from this being twice born, he is called Dionysius, and his religion is falsely observed in vanity. Religion. There's religion. And they celebrate his orgies such that now they themselves seem to be either foolhardy or burlesquers, have some big long word here. They conspire in evil, they practice before him with pretended heat that they may deceive others into saying that a deity is present. And you see, I've studied this in the past. The cult of Dionysius was very, very strong in an ancient Greek city called Corinth. In our belief system in the Bible, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, two different letters, possibly three, but we have two letters recorded in what we call the inspired New Testament.
And in there, he actually has to address the fact that these were former worshipers of Dionysus. And in these orgies, there wasn't just sex. There was violence. There was even murder. In fact, at one point, at the height of the eating and the sex with everything in sight and the violence and the murder, brought in on a plate, on a platter, was, I hate to say this, but it's true, a giant phallus, okay? And that was supposed to be Bacchus or Dionysius. The Bacchanians, these that practice this, and again, that's the Roman name for it, okay? If women resisted those Dionysius or those Bacchanian festivals, they would be torn to pieces. Even men would be. It was horrific. And now, everything I've said so far is religion, okay? But if I were to take the word freedom, I would see that that just simply is a word that is neutral, Joe. It, just like a gun can be put in the hand of a police officer and be used for good, hopefully, if he's a good police officer, honest police officer. And that same gun could get into the hands of a criminal and be used for bad. I propose to you that the word freedom is a word that is neutral. For example, during World War II, if I was freed from a prison war camp, right, that was freedom from one thing, but now I'm enslaved to another, and vice versa if I was on the other side. It's a word that's neutral, and it has no religion associated with it. On the other hand, the word liberty, coming from liber, which was this Roman god Bacchus, okay, of wine, women, and song, by the way, or Dionysius to the Greeks, okay, and a Greek goddess, Libertas. Well, what freedom is she talking about? What are we being freed from? And I propose to you that as I've researched this in depth, that it's always being freed from God's law, from God's moral law. In fact, I would propose to you, and I have this documented for anyone who might be interested, that the tablets that Lady Liberty, that the Greek goddess that stands in the New York Harbor is holding, the tablet that she's holding represents the law of Thelema, which was do what thou wilt. Now that's a religion. And you see, I love all people, and I liked the fact that our nation was to be established with no state religion, because there's always been murders in the name of state religions. And I'm going to show, as we discuss this further tonight, that goddess, Libertas, and that god, Bacchus, is related to a very specific religion that is worldwide and has been in charge from the very beginning, and I'm not referring to the pilgrims.
Okay, well, you obviously know your history, and you know your Bible. You're way ahead of me. You know, I quite frankly don't like people who are a hell of a lot smarter than I am and interviewing them. You know, I don't know what to say. In today's vernacular, we typically use the word freedom and liberty interchangeably, don't we?
Yes, we do.
All right, and there is a large contingency, especially with this. I guess they call them the neocons in office, wherein you really never separate religion and politics. And in a sense, that's true, because everyone has some sort of sense of religion, or you want to call it moral value or something, whether it's an official religion or not, and you bring that to you to office. So whether or not you're espousing a religion or not, whatever decision you made is a result of your upbringing and your beliefs. So
yes,
in a sense, they are correct. But I guess you're saying it is important for us to ensure that no one particular belief system,
yes,
becomes ingrained within our political process, thus it giving influence to everything else or every other religion. Or actually then every other religion becomes a second-class religion, in a sense.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I couldn't agree with you more. Now, being an a-religious person,
yes,
you know, I would have to say that that's very interesting, right? Now, being an a-religious person, what does this do for me, Perry?
Well, I don't think, Joe, that you or anyone else should be forced to worship anything. In my belief system, unlike Constantine, supposed Roman emperor, who supposedly became a Christian because he saw a flaming cross in the sky and he heard a voice say, well, go out and slaughter people in this sign or in this name. Well, that's not the Jesus I know. No, in fact, what I do is I seek to reason with people. I do genuinely believe what I believe, but I seek to discuss it with them. I also pray for them that the Holy Spirit would actually draw them to the truth, but I do not force it down anyone's throat. I respect everybody's privacy, and I do not appreciate the fact that that Freemasons, which is a religion, and I know because I've read Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma, which is his book to the 33rd degree Freemason. I've read it front to back. I've read it in context. And I do know they have temples. Now, when I hear the word temple, Joe, don't you think religion?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Right.
And interestingly enough, they say those temples are modeled after the Temple of Solomon. That's very, very big within their religion, okay? And by the way, this has been confirmed by many 33rd degree Freemasons who've come out of that religion and no longer serve that religion or the God that that religion represents. But it is a fact that they say that their temples, wherever they are in the world, Joe, represent the Temple of Solomon that was before. Well, Joe, in the Temple of Solomon, the Holy of Holies, where Yahweh dwelt between the cherubim, His glory dwelt, was in the western part of the temple. Because the pagans would actually bow to the sun in the east and worship the creature rather than the creator. Okay? The sun became a symbol for an angel in our belief system who long ago, before man was created, actually chose to rebel against the creator. And the creator himself, Joe, being light himself, in our belief system, it says God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Well, this angel that reflected the light of God, when he turned and rebelled against God, the light went out. Therefore, being an angel, you could picture this in your mind, and you listeners, you can picture this too, that an angel has a head, two hands, and two feet, and if he's upright, that's five-pointed star. But if he rebels, and the light goes out, he gets flipped upside down, and that's an upside down five-pointed star. We call it an upside-down pentagram. Now, here's the point. When he did this, he didn't want to be dark anymore. He liked the fact that before...
When you say he, light. You're referring to...
Yeah, I'm referring to the one that the Bible refers to as Lucifer, but
okay.
Later on became Satan, which means enemy, okay? And very simply, in our belief system, we believe that he now masquerades as an angel of light, that which he once was, okay? And that's the light, that in fact is the light of Freemasonry and Rosicrucianism. In fact, that's the light of the torch that was on Mount Olympus, the light of Zeus. That's the light that was the torch in the hand of a giant statue of Helios on the Isle of Rhodes called the Colossus of Rhodes. And he held up that torch. He had seven rays coming off of his head. And the face on that Colossus of Rhodes was none other than the face of Alexander. Okay? That's also the light that is the torch of Lady Liberty, or the Liberty Goddess, or Libertas the Goddess, that she's holding up. And that light, in other words, does not represent God as light, in whom is no darkness at all, but rather it reflects a manufactured light. And this is a big difference. Now, here again, I don't want Christian symbols in Washington, D.C. or in New York. I don't want a big statue of the Virgin Mary up there. What I loved when I was a child and I began to learn about my country was this whole idea that there could be freedom, not liberty. In fact, I can honestly say, as liberty has been defined tonight, I don't like liberty. Liberty's a goddess. It was first
okay.
A god, Bacchus, okay? But I do love freedom, Joe. I love freedom.
Okay. There would be the I'm sure you've been challenged on this before. And the challenges that I suspect that you would receive, and you would get from me, mm-hmm. would be that, first of all, I can't disagree with what you say because I'm not schooled as you are, number one. I'm from the streets of New York, which means no school whatsoever. But however, I can't say the facts that you present because a fact would have to be empirically derived fact, but the statements that you've made, right, come from Scripture. Now, wouldn't someone argue that Scripture was written at a particular point in time, 2,000 years ago or whatever, or 1,500 years ago? At that time, people were writing. They were the storytellers of the time. I mean, if you will, they were presented with information, and there were scribes that wrote this information down because no one knew how to write. And of course, there wasn't typewriters and stuff, and they were just very few people. And even the scribes themselves were not particularly educated. Some were quasi illiterate enough that they could write the symbols, but really didn't understand what the symbols were. So as these things became translated, not only from language to language, or Aramaic to Greek, or Roman, Egyptian, but there's also an interpretation involved, and then there are errors involved. And I've always had a problem with someone said, God said so-and-so. Well, then I have to say, well, which version of the Bible are you referring to, and which copy? So I guess my challenge to you would be that I'm not disagreeing that this is what is in the version of the Bible you have, but how do you square that away with the probability of that not being exactly what happened, or it's inaccurately recorded? Mm-hmm. How do you answer to that?
Absolutely. Questions that have been asked for a long, long time. In fact, I asked those questions myself many, many years ago, and I believe that I got the answers that satisfied my intellect. First of all, I want to say something that will make a lot of sense. Someone told me this a long time ago. Let's say that, God forbid, Joe, but I had a loaded gun to your head. And I said to you, Joe, I believe that this is a loaded gun, and if I pull the trigger, unfortunately, it's going to be over. And you might say to me, well, I don't believe that's a loaded gun, and I don't believe if you pull the trigger, it's going to all be over. And all I have to do to convince you is pull the trigger.
That's correct. That is correct, right.
So the Christians, their belief is we don't actually argue to someone into believing that the Bible is God's holy inspired word, okay. Actually preserved, not only from the standpoint of transmission of text, scribe to scribe, okay? The Old Testament originally written in Hebrew and a little bit of Aramaic in Daniel, the New Testament written in the Koine Greek, the common Greek of the time, the original autographs. There's the issue of the transmission of the text. There's the issue of translation into another right. language and something being lost. Right. And all of this, but rather what we do is we just use it, and we find that later on people actually believe it is the Word of God.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
So actually, I cannot actually logically convince anybody that it is. But I will say this. I have a passage here that I think is really relating to what we're talking about as far as liberty. And it's a very self-explanatory passage. It's the second psalm that David wrote. Okay, that's what we believe anyway. And it's interesting. This is what it says. A question. Why do the heathen rage? A term for unbelievers. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine an empty or a vain thing? Now listen to this. The kings of the earth set themselves, you know, like, you know, you see when somebody sets their face, you know, and that they're determined. Okay, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together. Well, there's kings, there's presidents, there's prime ministers. This is talking about the head honchos in the whole world, okay, not the low guys, you know. And they set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together. Now listen to this. Against the Lord and against His anointed. So we have the Lord, and then we have someone who is the anointed. That is the Christ. Okay, Jew would say Mashiach, the Messiah, the anointed of God. So you have the Lord and against His anointed. And it says, listen to what they're saying. Let us break their bands asunder. We want liberty. Okay? Let us break their bands asunder. Who? The Lord and His anointed. So there's two people. Okay. And cast away their cords from us. They're controlling us. We don't like this. We don't want this. We don't want to serve the Lord and His anointed. But what's interesting that I found out through researching this throughout all history, the Lord here being Yahweh, His anointed being Yahushua, Miriam, okay, we say Mary, but Miriam was told by the angel, you shall call His name Yahushua, or Yahshua if you want to say it for short, because He shall save His people from their sins, and He came in the name of His Father Yahweh, and Yahushua means Yahweh saves. So it's very interesting, Joe. I've researched this for very many, many years and found out that there are rulers in the world that oppose. They will tell you this. They will tell you, if they're honest. And I've actually got their own documentation that says this, that they reject Yahweh, they reject Yahushua. But Joe, believe it or not, and I'll share with the listeners a website that they can go to and they can see this for themselves. Because I'm a person, I say, don't believe me. Don't take my word for it. There's a lot of deceivers out there. Don't take my word for it. See if what I'm saying is true and document it from multiple sources. But there's actually those out there who say, no, I'm not going to worship Yahweh or His son Yahushua, who came from the Virgin, through the Virgin Mary. I am instead going to worship Zeus and his son Alexander. Now, it goes on to say, listen to this. Now, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. Okay? The Lord shall have them in derision. It's a laugh of derision. It's like, no contest, dudes. Look, you know, I'm Yahweh. I created the sun, and I can put the sun out. I created the moon. I can put the moon out. You all that worship the sun, the moon, and the stars as a symbol for the shining one that you worship, that you call Lucifer. No, he's a created being. He rebelled against me. Okay? No, listen. No contest, you guys. I laugh in derision at you, at your plans of breaking your band, our band, you know, the bands. What bands? What bands? Well, look at the feet of the Statue of Liberty, and you'll see chains that are broken. Well, that's a Greek goddess. Just ask Peter, Paul, or John, or any of the original apostles that lived back during the time of the Greek goddesses and Roman goddesses, and they would say, what? You guys, I mean, that's a religion, you know? Well, what is that goddess liberating you from? Okay. From Yahweh.
Can I just, sure. Immediately interrupt?
Yeah.
So you're saying that liberty is, you're liberating yourself from your religion. Am I saying that correct, or am I saying it the opposite way?
I don't quite understand the
well,
question.
Well, when you say liberty,
right.
When someone wants their liberty, what are they saying?
Okay. Well, what they're saying based on the etymology and based on the fact that that's a Greek goddess, they're actually saying, I want to be free from Yahweh's law.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That you want to be free. That's what I said. You want to be free from your religion,
yeah,
from my religion.
Right,
okay, so you're
right.
Saying that in that context,
yes.
Liberty, I want to get in on this conversation because I feel very left out at this point. But you're saying that liberty then is really freedom from religion, freedom from God.
Yeah.
Breaking
right.
your bonds.
Do your own thing.
From God. Whomever God may be for you.
Right.
It makes no difference.
Right.
All right.
Exactly.
And freedom is freedom as we know it here in America, as saying we have freedom of speech, a freedom to choose whatever religion we want.
Right?
So we should not confuse, you're saying, we should not confuse those two terms. And that's it. I've never heard that context before. You're a very erudite individual, obviously. I wish I was. I should say I wish I was. That's not fair because, you know, if I worked at it, I would. You worked at it and I didn't. You know, that's why I'm not. So, you know. However, how do you get this across without, because the information behind what you're saying is a lot of stuff. Uh-huh. Let me make it very simple. A lot of stuff.
Yeah.
How do you get this across without going through the entire, you know, cycle of things?
Right.
And how would you say that in Dick and Jane language to an a-religious person?
Right.
What would you say? How would you say that?
Well, basically, I would say this, that first of all, Joe, you and I have been having freedom right here. We've been having freedom. In other words, what I'm saying, first of all, and I'm laying the foundation, is that, Joe, it wouldn't be right for me to go to the government and say, look, I want Joe, I want him to serve the Christian ideas. I want him to be a Christian. We're going to have all the Christian symbols in the White House. We're going to have all the Christian symbols in the streets instead of the pentagram in the street that's in Washington, D.C. that a lot of people know about now. This is common knowledge because they actually designed the streets based on Masonic symbols and Rosicrucian symbols and all that, which is a religion, Joe.
Right, and okay. I agree.
But instead of that, we're going to put a cross and we're going to do all this. And Joe, it's just too bad you don't like it. But on the other hand, Joe, I appreciate the fact that you're not going to go to Washington, D.C. or anyplace else and say, you know what, I'm an agnostic or I'm maybe even an atheist, and I'll tell you what, we're going to put symbols of atheism everywhere and everybody's going to have to do... That's what freedom is. Freedom is you and I can converse.
Right.
We can reason with each other. But liberty is a goddess and was a god. And it's not talking about liberty to do the right thing. It's liberty specifically from Yahweh and his law, the Ten Commandments, do what thou wilt. Anybody who's looked into Aleister Crowley, who was once called the Beast, he was from England. He was the head of OTO, I think it is, Order of Templars. Anyway, OTO, very, very powerful occult organization still in existence. And he comes right out and says the law, the Thelemic law, is do what thou wilt, which is a direct contradiction to do what is love. If you summarize the law of Yahweh, you don't have to be a Christian, you don't have to be a believer at all, but this is true. The very first commandment has to do with loving your Creator. You want your sons to love you. Well, if there is a Creator, and He created you, you're like a son.
Right? Okay.
And there would be the first commandment, which is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the second commandment actually fulfills the rest of the Ten Commandments. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, the law of Thelema is, hey, you want to go out and have a Bacchus orgy and commit adultery, and you want to go out and murder somebody because they got on your case, hey, go.
You know,
go.
I always wanted to be in an orgy. I've never had the opportunity. You know?
Okay.
No one's ever invited me, you know. I've always heard about them.
But
let me pose this to you. I have found some people, and I can't say many, all, let's just say some, okay? Uh-huh. Some people who I don't think have any freedom because of their religion within themselves.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I understand what you're saying.
I have met so many people in my lifetime when they have approached me and say, do you believe in Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? And I say, no, I do not.
Mm-hmm.
They then will either refuse to speak to me, refuse to be my friend, refuse to associate with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I often think that these people are, in fact, have no freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Their religion, in turn now,
yes.
mm-hmm. has put them into bondage.
Yes.
And I say, you know, how awful. I don't dislike this person because they believe whatever they are.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't make any difference to me.
Right.
And yet the person who should be exercising the love, understanding, the tolerance, etc.
Yeah.
And of course, me being the non-religious person, I'm supposed to be rotten, no good, intolerant, you know, turn around and I'll stab you and take your, all that,
right.
that perception.
Right.
And to me, so often, and
yes.
I can't say all the time or sometime or one third, but so often I find that to be the exact reverse.
Uh-huh.
And I could never, ever understand that.
Uh-huh. And let me address that. That's very good. And the first thing I'll say is that you let me know, Joe, at another time that you own a business.
Okay? Yes.
Now, as the owner of that business, you have certain standards, you have certain ethics, you have certain goals, and so if someone comes to work for your company, and you give them that training manual, and you do the whole thing, right. But they go out, and they actually misrepresent you,
right.
Okay? It doesn't mean your company's bad, but they're misrepresenting you. In the same way, a Christian who does that, who shares the gospel with you and tells you how Jesus, you know, died on the cross for your sins and was buried, rose the third day. He wants to forgive you of all your sins. He's the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the whole world. He lived a sinless life. In other words, he loved the Father with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and he loved his neighbor as himself every moment of every day. And they say that to you, and then you say, well, I don't believe that. Okay, well, I'm going to leave you alone. They have misrepresented the company.
Well, yeah, you're right.
They have misrepresented the company.
But
yeah.
What I find strange, yeah. And I find... just a contradiction to the entire religious mm-hmm. thing is that those that appear to be most religious, if you will, uh-huh. and I don't know, I can't define yeah. that, but you know what I mean,
uh-huh.
seem to take the greatest affront that I don't believe exactly as they do.
Uh-huh.
Those people who seem to be less religious uh-huh. say, eh, it's all right, you know, you see what I mean?
Yeah, right,
and I'm
right.
saying, well, it comes yeah. across to me whether or not your religion is the right religion or not, uh-huh. but comes across to me that religion in itself really provides us, can guarantee only one thing historically, uh-huh. and that it divides us very well.
Uh-huh, you're absolutely right.
It divides us.
Yeah.
And it that really bothers me.
Right.
And in right. order to have, now we're going to go back to, because this is a liberty station, we're yeah. talking about liberty, I'm sorry, we're liberty, a freedom stuff. I got to change this, you know, I have to
but
change the station.
Before you do, I have to say something very quickly.
Okay.
I have to say this. True Christianity, okay, as I understand it, Joe, is not a religion, it's a relationship. It's a relationship of love that's restored with your Creator.
Yep.
And it's a relationship of love that's restored with your neighbor. And and then religion is that which does irritate and divide and make people haughty and all that. And quite honestly, Joe, I've met people like you from many different places that are not Christians like myself, maybe not even you know, maybe they're atheists or they're agnostics. And I met some of the most nicest people. And the reason for that I found is that there are unbelievers out there that follow their conscience better than Christians who obey the law of Christ, which is the law of love. And the conscience was there before there was ever a Ten Commandments. The conscience, you know, you're a little kid and you take the cookie from the cookie jar.
Right.
And no one has to tell you that's wrong.
Right.
Well, there are unbelievers out there that actually follow their conscience better than Christians that are told to keep the commandments of the Lord. But what the real divide is in our belief system is that whether you follow your conscience or whether you try to keep the Ten Commandments or try to keep the commandments of the Lord, I once heard an analogy, very, very apropos here. Two guys are standing on the shore of California. And one of them's a drunk, right? He's just sloshed, right? And the other guy is an Olympic gold medal winner. And they're both told, okay, you've got to reach Hawaii. All right, now, they both jump in, and sure enough, the gold medal winner goes further, obviously, than the drunk, but they both fall short. And the scripture actually says that all have sinned, all have blown it, all of us have said things, done things, thought things we shouldn't have.
No,
ever done.
I'm perfect, Terry.
right, Joe.
I am absolutely. No, I have to admit. No,
yeah.
In all fairness to my yeah. audience, I will admit that I believe I made one small mistake in 1952, but I corrected it immediately. So I want you to know
okay.
that I'm not absolutely perfect. Okay.
Right.
But, you know, I quite frankly feel sorry for those people who feel that way. There are people mm-hmm. right in my own neighborhood who I know.
Yeah.
Cannot really associate with me not that I'm not of their religion, but I don't go to their particular church.
Right.
And that just drives me nuts.
Yeah.
I don't care. I mean, I really don't care. In fact, I'm surprised you're talking to me, you know? I mean, no, really.
No,
because most people say, well, you know, if you don't believe in this, forget about
yeah,
it, you know?
No.
And I think that's it. But that restricts mm-hmm. people's freedom. Let's go back to freedom. Well, I guess we have to rename this to Freedom Talk Radio, don't we? But really restricts their liberty within themselves, not from the government point of view, but from within themselves. Because if they're of the persuasion, their religion,
yes.
that my religion says this, thus I cannot do any of these things. And I don't mean do not murder. I mean,
right.
you know, I cannot associate with Perry because he doesn't read the same version of the Bible I do.
Yeah.
Your liberties are lost.
Uh-huh.
Your liberties are lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I find these, I feel sorry for these people because they miss out so much on life.
They do.
Because there's so much to life that they will not acknowledge because somehow they interpret it as being sinful or against the word of God.
Right.
And that in itself is sinful.
Right.
You know?
Well, you know, actually, I think it would be an axiomatic statement that love frees a person. Hate bonds, puts bonds on them, okay? And notice I didn't say liberates a person, frees a person, okay? Love frees a person, and it really does, and there's actually a scripture that the Apostle John wrote, and he says, perfect love casts out all fear. Now, if there isn't anything more binding than fear in our life, fear of failure, fear of success, fear of pain, I mean, on and on we go, that it binds you. But it's interesting, it says perfect love casts out all fear. And when I say that, I see freedom.
Well, I can give you a perfect love. I tell my wife all the time that provided she makes plenty of money, gives it all to me, I love her unconditionally. You know? And I tell her that all the time, you know. She hasn't figured that one out yet, you know. She Well, I appreciate the fact that you have taken it upon yourself to dwell in a subject that's very important to you and very important to many, many people.
Mm-hmm.
My perspective is entirely different. Next week, I'm going to have a very, very lovely lady, and you know her,
mm-hmm.
Allison,
mm-hmm.
and she's a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my questions to all people who are going to talk about their religion was that, if you were born in a different country, if you were born
mm-hmm.
in India,
mm-hmm.
where the primary religion is a practice, I should say,
mm-hmm.
I guess I don't know if it's a religion or what, but you'd be a Buddhist, well, you wouldn't be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And is not then religion really a product of your demographics, of who you're born from, you know, what family you're in, and where you live?
Well, that's a very good question, and I'll address that. I really believe that every human being at some point in their life come to a point of consciousness where they realize, well, you know, that computer didn't just pop up on my desk one day by chance. There were people that designed it and built it and put it all together and tested it and made sure it worked. And so we just, without ever hearing any theology or any arguments, we come to a point, I believe, of God consciousness as a child. But at that point, I believe that people start seeking Him in different ways. And that explains really all religions. They're seeking. They're trying. There is a higher power. I know there is. My logic tells me there is. But, you know, I see all this pain and evil all around me, all this things going on. And how could a God of love have created this and allow this? That's an argument that people go through.
Right.
I've gone through it, okay?
Yeah.
But I actually find that that what's very, very unique about Christianity in its pure form as it began, and you know, anything can start right and then it can get corrupted, right? But in its pure form, it basically was saying, unlike any other religion, it was saying, you know what? You've blown it. Come on. You know, you've said, you've thought, you've done things you shouldn't do. Let's face it, you have, right? And everybody knows that justice is actually built into us. We demand justice when somebody goes out and rapes somebody, right? Well, why? It's built in. We don't choose that. It's just there, right? So it would only make sense that if we're made in the image of our Creator, that He would be also a God of justice, not only love, but justice. And it would make sense then that if there's something that we do wrong, that God, who loves us, would say, you know what? That separates us. I got to judge that. I got to deal with that. Somebody's got to pay.
But wait a minute. But the original question was if we were broadcasting right now instead of Tulsa, Oklahoma, we were broadcasting from Bangladesh.
Right.
No, which is not India. I'm sorry, it's another country itself. But from India itself.
Uh-huh.
What's the main country in the city in India? I can't even think of what. Isn't that terrible?
I can't either, Joe.
Isn't that horrible?
Let's say we.
We're broadcasting from the studio in India.
Right.
You and I would be Buddhist, or most likely we would be Buddhist.
Well,
right? Is that not true?
Well, not necessarily, because if you actually look at the demographics all over the world, you find Christians everywhere.
I know that, but wait a minute. But the probability? What's the probability of being Christian versus Buddha?
Okay.
Buddhist? I mean, it's probably a 95-1 or 98-1 or something like that.
Right.
So most likely we would be espousing at this point in time. Now, my own point being is that every religion, and this is why I think religions in and of themselves are not liberating.
Mm-hmm.
See, I take the opposite approach.
I know what you're saying.
In that I accept... The reason why I do not espouse any one religion, because once I do, I say this is the true religion, I in effect are denying everybody else their religion, and that's like denying them their own liberty.
Okay, I see, and
that's the way I look at it.
You see what I mean? And
with no disrespect to any religion.
Right.
But I cannot for myself saying, oh, by the way, Perry, you're almost right, but you're not, because this is the way the cow really eats the cabbage.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is absolute. And once it becomes absolute, what I'm saying is that you're wrong, because you have to be, you know, syllable for syllable in tune with what I just said, or we're in disagreement, and one of us has got to be wrong. And not only one of us got to be wrong, but one of us has got to be right, and the rest of the world has got to be wrong.
And I know
I have a lot of difficulty with
and
that.
And I understand that. And actually, I have myself very much. In fact, if you knew how much I've wrestled with all these types of issues we're talking about, I used to pace the floor back and forth and go back and forth in the whole thing. But let me make a proposition to you. If man left to himself were to choose a religion, let's say there was no revelation at all from anything, no books,
nothing, clean slate.
Right? Just left to choose religion, okay? By nature, all of them would come up with something like this. Well, there's a God out there. He's perfect. I know that I thought something I shouldn't think or say or did. You know, I robbed a bank, that's wrong, or whatever it is, because of conscience, okay? And all of them would basically say this, Joe. They would say, I must do something to appease that God. I've got to do good works. I've got to go get baptized. I've got to go, pay penance. I got to do something. Oh, I've got to meditate and go through different layers of initiation. Oh, I've got to go through reincarnations over and over again. Oh, I blew it. I blew it. I got to pay off my karma. Now I got to come back as a frog. You know, and all of these would have in common this idea of earning. Why? Well, let's face it. That's the way we are. We go out. We earn a living. I earn that paycheck, right? I earn that. But on the other hand, it's Christmas or it's a birthday or something, and you go out and you bought it. By golly, Joe, you bought that for your son. And then you give it to him, and he said, no, now listen, Dad, I got to pay you for that. No, I bought it. I paid the price. Here it is. It's free to you. No, you got to be kidding me. It's not free. Are you kidding? No way. I got to earn it. That's our nature. If there were no religions, all of us are.
I'm going to disagree with you. Okay? Are you ready for the disagreement?
Yes, I am. I'm ready.
Okay. And oops, I just broke my microphone. You got me so excited. Uh-oh. I broke my microphone.
He's violent,
folks. That just holds the wire. And
it's not
let me,
religious types, it's real violent.
we get very violent, right? Well, let me give you an example. And this is a far-fetched one, and then I'm going to come back to it. There was a person that I knew, knew for a long time, who had a type of cancer that was fatal. Suffered with it for a couple of years. We got a report from someone who was much closer to her that she was in remission. Now, she had gone to a special hospital in Houston, had special care, and there were a lot of people involved in her at least achieving this state of remission. There were technicians. There were manufacturers of machines. They were the nurses, the doctors, the researchers, the pharmaceutical companies, you name it. You know, I can go on and on.
Right,
right. And when the person called me to tell me, and as a courtesy, and don't get me wrong, I'm not angry with the person, but what the person said was, so-and-so is in remission. Our prayers have been answered. And I got angry. Now you'd say, Joe, you got to be a mean person for that. I was angry because the credit was misplaced. We should have said, you know, if if there's a God, thank God there was an equipment manufacturer who made the equipment that allowed them to isolate, you know. We should have thanked the medical school to train, you know, see what I mean?
Thank God.
In other words, they thanked
school.
Everybody but whom should have been thanked. And it bothered me for days. Now, I'm never going to approach that person and say, hey, by the way, Jack, you know, you were way off base. But I think this is the problem, is that religion, again, separates separates us from where the truth is. Now, I will disagree in that if there was a clean slate and there was no God, I mean, no religion, right? Some of us would come up and we would all wonder, you know, where did we come from? The age old, you know, the purpose of life type thing. But I have found the people who are most at peace, at least that I know, and this is not empirical or anything like that, but, you know, the data, but the people that I know who are truly at peace with themselves and people who I find, and I'm honest, I mean, true goodness, have no faith. And I always find that. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. No, and don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that everyone's faith is bad. But I'm just saying that those people I've known for years, it always amazes me that these are the people that, according to some religious people, not you, but some religious people, these should be damned because they're heathens and heretics and all that. These are really good people. I mean, these are the people that I would give my worldly possessions to, everything I own, my deep, darkest secrets to, and know it's okay. But I can't say that for many religious people that I know. There always seems to be a however common. I'm not sure if your premise is correct in that if we didn't know, we would automatically go to that. I think there must be something in our nature, and just like anything else, in our DNA or whatever, that says that if there was an absence of religion, I just wouldn't take a butcher knife and just cut you up. There would be something inside me would say, that's wrong.
Conscience.
Yeah. And whatever that is. And we don't even know if there's a conscience. We don't even know if there's... We don't know these things. These are words to us. We're running out of time, I think. We have 5 more minutes. Okay. We're going to go for a whole hour this time.
Good.
You see what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And
I do.
I find it so much easier to do the thing that's right. And usually the thing that's right is a tough thing to do. Tough love is based on being... Believe it or not, not selfish, but selfless.
Right.
And people understand that. And that's not a religion, but that's a dogma like anything else. And it makes sense. I'm not certain whether or not people... this is going to sound awful, but people who are, that I know, that are highly religious have no freedom. And that's what bothers me. They really have no freedom. They can go in the middle street. They have no freedom.
I know what you mean.
And no matter, I have a fellow who works for me who fits that category perfectly.
Yeah.
I mean, he is so, I see this guy so entrapped. He is so religious. I mean, he's the most religious person I've ever met in my life.
Right.
Second to you, Perry.
Right.
But, you know, he's entrapped and he has no freedom. I'm going to lose half my listeners now. I know that for saying that. But you understand what I mean. It has nothing to do with being good or bad or anything like that. He's a wonderful person.
Well, I understand. I really do. I think I understand what you're saying. Let me again purport two different R's, religion and relationship. Okay? If this is all understood, as a relationship, then it's totally different. It would be like this. God created mankind to have a love relationship with him because, in our belief, God is a family. God has always been a family.
But that's let me interrupt. But that's not God. That's a concept.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's got to be a concept because we can't say that. There's no way to prove it. Say, let me call the guy in. He's really a sweet guy. You know, Put down the beer, God. Come in here and have a talk.
Right.
You know, we can't say that.
You know? I understand that, and it can't be proven. Let me say this in closing, though, if I may, Joe. A website I want to give to the listeners.
Sure.
Listeners, go ahead and go to Google, click on advanced search, and type in the following phrase, the Order of Alexander the Great. Now, this is something that you all should know because there are those who claim to be Christians that instead of worshiping Jesus and the Father, they actually, in private, worship Alexander and Zeus. And you go to that, and then you click on the first link you come to. That will take you to the actual website of the Order of Alexander the Great. And the logo at that website for their ancient order that dates back to Ptolemy, the right-hand man of Alexander, who took Alexandria and developed it. It dates back there. And let me tell you something. The logo that is there is very, very important. It is a head bust of Alexander with two horns on his head, olive leaves around his head, and down below the Alpha and the Omega of the Greek language. In other words, they call him Alpha and Omega instead of Yahushua HaMashiach, and I'm saying it in Hebrew, Jesus the Christ, and they call Zeus the Father instead of Yahweh. And I encourage every listener out there, do your homework. Go there, click on the links, and you will actually see that there are Knights of the Order. Reagan was a Knight of the Order. Bush is a Knight of the Order. Prince Charles is a Knight of that Order. And they have a blasphemous painting there. Now, I'm speaking to Christians. I understand that there's those out there that are not, and I respect that. But for those of you that are Christians that do love Jesus Christ and do love the Father, Yahweh, there's a blasphemous painting. It's called The Last Supper of Alexander the Great instead of The Last Supper of Jesus. And in that painting, Alexander is stark naked standing out in front holding a spear. Now, occultists have always said that whoever owns the spear that pierced the side of Jesus was destined to rule the world. So go there, check it out, and then spread the word. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, you know, when jokingly, when sometimes people ask me about religion, I mean, I'm not saying this to give you a hard time or that, or to contradict what you're saying.
Sure.
I never know what to say, so sometimes I say Zeus, you know. But I said, I prefer Venus. She's better looking, you know. Okay. Perry, thank you so much for being with us this evening. We went for almost a total hour. You were very, very interesting. I hope that our listeners understand that Perry is a very educated individual, very erudite in his field, and he was giving his perspective. If anyone has any questions, we did not receive one this evening, but you can send in your email. I will, and if I can answer the email, because he's my guest, obviously, I will forward it to him, and I will get back to you during our next broadcast. It is about time that we wrap things up here, and doing so, we are going to play our bumper song, as we call it. And our wonder, right. Okay. Thank you, Perry. Thank you very much. I hope you'll still be speaking to me in the future. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for your financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends. And let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, folks, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away from you, or you are striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Until next time, stay well, stay tuned.